This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along as we talk with State Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver today on the WPGM Community Forum. She represents the 108th District, which, as we'll learn in a moment, has changed a bit with the reapportionment. We're going to hear who Representative Culver now represents and what are her plans in the short and long term. Thanks for being with us, Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver. Representative Culver, can you first talk about your new district? The legislative reapportionment has shifted things around a bit, and tell us what's changed for you.
So there's been some significant changes, and it's bittersweet for me because, you know, you get very attached to a district, and you work hard for them, and, you know, you learn what their needs are, and you learn to anticipate those needs. And so the changes would be I'm losing all of Snyder County and the municipalities below Upper Augusta Township at the lower end of Northumberland County. I keep from like Upper Augusta and Rockefeller Township north, and now I will have all of Montour County will become part of the 108th Legislative District.
So you are taking over Montour in its entirety then?
Yeah, Montour will become a part of the 108th Legislative District now.
All right. And what is that like to, like you said, you get to know the people, their needs, and suddenly you an entire additional county is being thrown your way?
So, I mean, you know, you're always concerned about the district you're leaving and, you know, the relationships you've established and, you know, are those needs going to be met? And, you know, how do you make that transition? And, you know, in the same vein, you have the stress of, my goodness, I'm taking over, you know, 11 new municipalities, an entire new county. I want to make sure that I'm getting caught up very quickly so that I can meet their needs. I think what's most important is the constituents don't feel the shift quite as much as maybe we do. So I think it's important that, you know, as I'm reaching out that, you know, people feel free to, you know, talk to me and educate me and let me know what their concerns, needs, wants, you know, are. Montour County has been phenomenal, very welcoming, great at educating and asking questions, and I'm very impressed with Montour County.
Are the people, as far as their you know, their core values and beliefs, do you feel like you're getting basically more of what you already have, or are you dealing with an entirely different subset here?
No, I wouldn't say. I mean, my goodness, you can't go wrong in this valley. What a wonderful place to live. And, you know, I don't think you can get constituents that don't work together. I mean, Montour County is, you know, heavy farming area, and, you know, you have the boroughs around Geisinger and Danville, which is kind of its own, you know, island of itself. But I find so far it's meshing really well with the 108th Legislative District. And it makes me feel comfortable, you know, that I'm able to represent everybody to the best of my ability.
Okay. And you generally have been in Sunbury. Do you have now new satellites in Montour County, or are they planned?
So currently I have my main office in the city of Sunbury, is the largest municipality I represent. We have a satellite office in Milton in the mornings at the Borough Building, and we have a satellite office in Snyder County at the Susquehanna Valley Mall in the afternoon. I will have to close the Snyder County Mall office, hoping to transition that to the 85th District Representative, and I will be opening a afternoon satellite office in Montour County.
Okay, so there is some adjustments there as well to make it a little easier for folks to get the help they need. Let's talk a bit about some of what's been going on in our area. The CSVT opening, that's kind of a big one for Harrisburg in general, and the process that brought that funding to the forefront.
It was a long time coming, and if you, I don't know if you were able to walk it, but we had gotten calls prior to, you know, the public day at the new bridge asking if we could make some accommodations or, you know, have PennDOT make the request. of folks that have been waiting for this almost their entire life. And were, you know, in wheelchairs or walkers or probably couldn't walk the whole thing. And PennDOT was very gracious, making sure anybody who wanted to get up onto that bridge that day. So what a historic moment. Some people have been waiting their entire lives for it. Some people, it's a newer thing, but, you know, the bypass stopped about 53 years ago. And the Valley's been, you know, trying to make sure that project restarted. And, you know, we started it. We had a couple false starts with, you know, one of the governors putting it into hibernation at one point. And, you know, just from that bridge opening, we're already getting calls that the borough of Northumberland is seeing an ease in the traffic running through the borough, and it's a little better to cross the streets. I know we still have some more work to do with pedestrian crossings, but I'm excited to see the entire project finish and the change it will have in the Valley. And, you know, it's attracting businesses, it's attracting jobs for us. And hopefully that means people can, you know, stay here and not have to go in search of a job to support their families. So this has meant what we thought it would always mean. And getting the funding for that bridge was not an easy task. It was not something any of us did alone. And I give great credit to Senator Gordner for corralling then three really young legislators. I think it was our first or second term that the opportunity, you know, came upon us, and Senator Gordner recognized that. And, you know, it was a team effort from all the legislators here in the Valley. Senator Yall, Dave Millard, Kurt Mosser, myself, Fred Keller, Senator Gordner were all a part of that. And it was a long, arduous process getting that done in Harrisburg and making sure, if you think about it, we have the largest project in a decade in the entire Commonwealth. That's quite a feat for our area, and it's something everybody here should be proud of. And I know for me, where I'm living, you know, I go up north to the northern end of Northumberland County frequently. By where I live, it's taking me in and taking me up on that new bridge to get up to the upper end. And I'm noticing I'm saving about 7 minutes by doing that.
The state budget, in your recent newsletter, it's said state budget, there's a lot to like. Always goes from the governor's presentation and then gets worked over, and eventually you come out with something everybody can live with. And give us a little summary of that. What were some of the highlights that you saw? I guess education funding being one of them.
Yeah, I mean, this budget really was something all sides could be proud of. We all worked together pretty hard. We were in a unique situation where we had federal dollars flowing in to the state, which is not something we had previously. And I think one of the best things about the budget is we were really fiscally responsible. We're saving for the future to hopefully prevent any unnecessary hikes in taxes or fees. You know, we kept the amount of growth that we were spending into the budget to 2.9%. We deposited $2.1 billion into the Rainy Day Fund to bring Pennsylvania to a historic level of $5 billion in the Rainy Day Fund. And I mean, I can tell you, we ranked very low compared to the other states in the amount of money we had saved in case there is an emergency or a downturn in the economy. Now we bring ourselves to rank in the mid-20s. So we're about the middle of the pack, and we hope to continue that trend of saving for Pennsylvania's future. We did preserve money, about $3.6 billion in the general fund for use in future budgets. There's concerns that we will go into a recession, and we want to be prepared for that. And, you know, the worst time to have to raise taxes is when you're in a recession. And we're really trying to make sure that we're preparing Pennsylvania for what may come. We paid off all our debts. You know, previously there was about $2 billion worth of budget or borrowing for prior budgets, and we paid all that back. We brought Medicaid payments back to timely payments. We paid back the Workers' Compensation Security Fund, and I know it doesn't always seem like, oh, that's what you did, but it really puts us in a good place. You know, we created the first ever Pennsylvania Child Tax Credit to equal 30% of the federal credit to support our working families. For our folks get the property tax rent rebate program. We did a 70% enhancement in that for this year. And we put additional monies into LIHEAP for people, which is fuel assistance for those with a low income to offset some of those high utility costs that are coming. So, you know, we did a crazy amount of investing in education. We want to make sure our students are prepared for their future and they have all the tools that they need to do that. We put money into safe communities, an additional 200 troopers. I think there's two classes coming. We put $7.7 million for mobile video and body cameras. We put $30 million in for state funding for violence intervention and prevention. We put money in for local law enforcement grants, $135 million. We put $50 million into acts of violence that were used, you know, using a gun. And we did $100 million for a collaborative care mental health initiative. I mean, that's just kind of, you know, hitting the tip of the iceberg. There were so many things we were able to do with this budget. We were supporting agriculture. And if you've been following what our farmers have been going through, you know, part of the state's in a drought. It's affected our corn. It's affected our soybean. We're combating the avian flu. And so far, Pennsylvania has been really successful at doing that. And we have the spotted lantern fly going on right now that's hitting our ag community. We have some swine diseases and equine diseases that we're combating. And we were able to put money into that. With Senator Gordner and I, we partnered to put the largest environmental program in a decade in effect. And it goes to establish the usage of our parks and forest areas in the United States. We put money into H2O and small water and sewer programs for all of our municipalities. And I don't know if anybody pays attention, but we have a really aging infrastructure. And I don't know, can you imagine trying to go brush your teeth and turn the water on and it's brown or it's spitting at you or it just doesn't come out at all? So that was important for us. And we put additional money into our conservation districts. So I think the budget was a really good budget. I have to say it's probably the best one I've voted on thus far. And I'm hoping that trend continues. It was really bipartisan. We worked hard. We work together.
As a whole, how would you say Pennsylvanians, the, you know, the individual people are doing with, you know, we've been coming through a pandemic. We've been now dealing with inflation and gas prices. Is that something that's you tend to hear a lot about?
No, I think it's a whole, whether you have a family you're supporting, you're an individual or you're a senior citizen. I think everybody's struggling. Everybody's looking for ways, you know, to cut back and save some dollars. And we're in a really tough situation. You know, we're coming out of a pandemic and, you know, everybody's utility bills are going up. Any errand you want to run or get to work, the cost of fuel has gone up significantly. The cost of food has gone up significantly. Any supplies or goods are delayed or you can't get what, you know, what you're looking for. And it's been a tough situation. I'm really proud at the way this area has handled it. You know, they're supporting their neighbors, you know, they're volunteering at food banks and, you know, I think they're rising to the occasion, but I think we all need to be paying attention and informing all elected officials at all levels, how we're spending money, what projects need to be prioritized. It's important for us to hear that as we're making decisions.
Always something going on in the district that we try to keep folks apprised of those events that you do promote through your newsletter and online and so forth. Anything coming up that you'd want to mention that can, you know, benefit your constituents?
We do. We are having a senior health fair and flu shot clinic, and that is being held Friday, September 30th. From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Inside of the Susquehanna Valley Mall. And we really tried to focus on, you know, the physical, emotional, social health of our senior citizens and, you know, give them the best quality of life they can have. And so we have some really unique folks coming to that, and we're excited. And if you haven't gotten your flu shot yet, you know, they're all starting to push it. So it'd be a great time to come over and get it. See what's being offered in our communities from, you know, from our libraries to our YMCAs, you know, 65 Forward that Geisinger promotes. Evan has a couple of programs they would like to promote. You know, there's foster grandparenting. There's all kinds of things people can get involved in to, you know, keep them healthy, keep them moving. And we want to make sure, you know, some of those health screenings are there so that they know we are healthy. And we've come through this pandemic, as we talked about, and a lot of people have avoided hospitals and doctors. So when they're finally getting there, they're sicker. And we want to make sure people are getting the care that they need to lead their best life. We're doing a veterans recognition event on Thursday, November 10th. We don't have all the details of that worked out yet because of getting the new district, and we're still working that one out. And just in time for the holidays, as everybody knows, you're shopping online, you're shopping in stores, you're using credit cards. We're doing a holiday scam seminar on Thursday, November 17th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Susquehanna Valley Mall. So if you want to shop before or after that, you can, but hopefully you have a better feel for what you need to look for, what you need to report. There's no pre-registration required. We encourage it so that the Attorney General's office has all the information you need for that event, but we're excited for that one too.
All right. Final thoughts as we head into the fall season that kind of want to keep at the forefront of your constituents' mind?
Well, we are having a very large turnover in the House of Representatives this time. And with that comes, you know, a lot of new young faces or new faces. And there's a learning curve anytime you get that big of a turnover in a class. It's almost the size of the Senate, and that's without any losses with the election. I encourage people to, you know, just keep in touch with my legislative office. I work very closely with the surrounding legislators and Senator Gordner and Senator Yaw. I think we recognize that together we can do more than we do separately. And it's important to us to be bringing home and filling those needs in this community. And I think with the bypass finishing, you're going to see a lot of businesses getting attracted to this area because they're able to move, you know, their goods, their employees in and out of this area much more easily. And we have been trying to prepare everybody for that, you know, with, you know, their zoning and their codes and making sure that whatever growth does happen fits this area and we can keep what's, you know, the best of what we have in this area and enhance it with, you know, attracting new quality jobs to this area. But I think the most important thing I can stress is communication. Don't assume we know what you're thinking. Unless it's directly affecting us or someone else has come to us, we may not know what's affecting you personally or your community. And it's imperatively important that you get to us so that we can help you address those issues.
And we've been talking with State Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver of the 108th District today on the WPGM Community Forum. We want to thank her for bringing us this legislative update. And we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.